Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Looks like all of a sudden it's kind of tough. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Father, right now, hide me behind the cross. I yield myself to you. Use these stammering lips and let your word come forth, and let your word only be sealed in the hearts of every person here. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Now let your thoughts and your words be revealed in Jesus' name. For this we give you praise and honor and glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've covered a lot of territory in the last few weeks and months. Praise the Lord. And this morning is no different. Keep in mind some of the things we've talked about. The fact that, again, he's faithful, he's true. He doesn't change. His thoughts and his plans don't change. Amen? Hallelujah. And what he says, he will do. Right? Praise the Lord. Once again, I say that I personally, and I know that most of you, if not all of you in this room, can honestly say that you have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to look at some scripture this morning. The thought that God gave me as I woke up this morning is steadfast and immovable. So we're going to look at that a little bit and talk about this. You know, the point is, as we live and grow in Jesus, in God, in the things of God, and we get more into the relationship with him, we need to become to the point, or come to the point, where we stop getting dragged into despair or discouragement. Amen? We need to get into the place where we know that it's not possible for the thing to turn out. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in your life, you think about it for just a moment, that it's not impossible for it to turn out wrong with God. Amen? It's not possible for you to end up on the wrong end of this deal. Amen? Hallelujah. This deal is based on the fact that you surrender to him and you observe to do everything that he's commanded you. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start in verse 51 and read through verse 58. A good scripture. Praise you, Lord. Actually, we'll start in verse 50. I have the New King James Bible, and the caption above verse 50 says, "Our final victory." Praise the Lord. And we know that final victory is going to be when we leave this flesh and go to be with the Father. Once again, we all know that our struggle is not with even the devil. It's with this thing between our ears. Let God be true and every man a liar, and that means the intellect and the thoughts up here. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Praise the Lord. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Let me make sure I'm in the right place here. "For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Well, praise the Lord. Somebody tell me where that scripture is. Apparently I wrote the wrong one down. I don't know how that happened, but it did. The one that talks about be steadfast and immovable. Verse 58. Oh, okay, we didn't go far enough, did we? Sorry about that. "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What did that say there? It said, "Thanks be to God who gives us." If I'm not mistaken, I believe in one translation it says, "always." But thanks be to God who gives us, always gives us, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, here's the key word, verse. I just didn't go far enough. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Abounding in the work of the Lord. knowing that your labor, listen carefully, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're in a race. We're pressing towards the mark of the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So as we live and grow, we begin to abound more and more in the work and the things of God. We begin to see God's hand move in our life more than ever before. The reason for that is because we've surrendered to Him, because we've let God be the most important thing in the highest place in our life. We've put importance on His Word and importance on the relationship with Him. Amen? That's what it's all about. And as we do that and as we grow, we begin to abound in the work of the Lord because we're not caught up with the petty fears and petty apprehensions and anxieties that come when things don't quite go right. Because now we're convinced, or we should be convinced, that there's not one thing that's going to happen to you that He's not in control of and that He has not already put in place an answer, even if the manifestation is not there at the moment. And once again, we got to remember that we got to call those things which be not as though they are. Not according to what we see, but according to what we hear and what we read in the Word and by the relationship we have with Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is not going to be long, but it's very important. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. You got to be steadfast and immovable. Nothing but nothing but nothing but nothing should be able to pull you away from your focus and your course. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, if you want to look at a situation when Jesus was at the had been with the multitudes and went out, said, let's go to the other side. He wanted to get away. He went back in the boat and went to sleep. And all of a sudden, circumstances. Circumstances. That's all it was. How many know circumstances are subject to change? Amen? Hallelujah. Facts are not the truth. They're facts. And facts also are subject to change. The fact was, the waves began to beat. The men got afraid. They just heard the words of Jesus. They had all been with Him when He was spoken to the crowds, and He said, let's go to the other side. Well, how many know that God wasn't about to let that boat sink? Jesus knew that. When He said, let's go to the other side, that was the final word. There was nothing more to say. And they got afraid. That's right. And we're human too. But praise God, the more the Word we get into us, the more the relationship we have with God, the less those human things take control. We put off the carnal mind and take on the spiritualness. How many know the carnal, the Bible says, or the flesh, is an enemy of the spirit? The flesh appetites and lusts are enemies with God because they want to serve themselves. How many remember that it's not about us, it's about God? It's about others, amen? We're not here for us, we're here for others, amen? Praise the Lord. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. How many know this world is full of that today? There's people, I mean, most people today, unfortunately, and it's a fact, we know that according to the Word, broad is the way and great is the way that leads to death, and there's going to be a lot of people that go there, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Straight is the way, and few there will be that find it. What does that mean? That means that some people will not give up their flesh and their flesh desires. See, I can tell you, in my life, more now in the last few years than ever in my life, and it's always been true. Let me just say that right now. God has never once failed me. And the more I give up, the more I get from Him. Amen? He's a father. A real father, his tendency, his desire is to give and to make things good for the one that He brought into this world. We were brought into this world for Him and for His pleasure. Does it make any sense to you, bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds, for God to bring us into this world and then seek or allow the things of this world to destroy us? I'm sorry, but that just does not compute. That's the kind of garbage you want to take out. You know, garbage in, garbage out, computer talk. Amen. That's the kind of garbage we want out. Amen. And the only way we can get that to happen is by being in His Word, meditating in it, and being in His presence. Learning the real character of God. Beginning to see and understand there's two characteristics in the Bible. The characteristic of darkness and the characteristic of light. And the two don't mix.
Right?
You can say amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. But his delight, when your delight begins to be in the law of the Lord, and you begin to meditate in his thing, in him, day and night, then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What does that denote? That means that where you're at, nourishment and life comes from where you're at. How many know promotion comes from God? Your Bible says promotion comes from the north, but we're talking about God, aren't we? Amen? That brings forth fruit in its season. Oh, dear Lord, that's the one we struggle with a lot. Give me patience, Lord. Give it to me now. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. That tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. You're no different than I am. Hallelujah. How many know faith works patience? Patience, hope, and hope makes not ashamed. Amen? Hallelujah. Whose leaf, now listen carefully, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now listen carefully. It says the ungodly, they're not so, but are like a chaff in the wind, which the wind drives them away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the path of the ungodly shall perish. Now let me just say something about this. That's not talking about unrighteous people coming in here, obviously, because that's the only way they're going to get to know the Lord, except by you and I going out and talking to them as God gives us the prompting by the Spirit. This is where they're going to find out. And when they begin to come in to the congregation of the righteous, they begin to hear the word, what happens is their life is transformed. Amen? That's the way it should be. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, and God's the one in charge, it's not by works of righteousness, which I have done, or you have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us and them. Amen? He wants to save. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, they can't stay unrighteous if they come into God's house and begin to get with people who know him and who have surrendered their lives to him without reservation, without hesitation. And the cool thing is, it doesn't make any difference whether you just met the Lord or not. What he does, he begins to work on you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what that does, it can't help it, is change your mind, your attitude, and your heart so that you give up you and begin to serve him. Amen? And you begin to realize and you begin to see the blessings that come by you giving up you. Whoever keeps his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it, will keep it. Amen? Hallelujah. We know that, right? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So, praise the Lord. We have some good promises in this. It says, you'll be like a tree. That's what I pray. Lord, let me be. Let these people, let you folks be the trees that are planted by the rivers of water. And you're bringing forth. We've already seen it, haven't we? How many here can raise your hand and say, God's been changing me, praise the Lord, and I'm looking for more? I remember an old song, and I'll just tell you this. Years ago, it just reminded me, I don't know why I'll just bring this up for free, but it's an old song that was done by a guy by the name of Jim Nesbitt. You probably most of you never even heard of him. But there was a song that he used to do called Looking for More in 64. And the punchline, this got 16 kids that we adore, and we're looking for more in 64. That's, anyway, moving right along. Man, that's when you really need to cast your care on the Lord, amen? Let him care for you. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5, 1 through 10. Galatians 5, 1 through 10. Galatians 5, 1 through 10. Praise you, Lord. Now, here's a command that God gives us. The caption here is Christian liberty. Christian liberty. And here's what it tells us to do. How many know they're not the 10 suggestions, they're the 10 commandments? Amen? When he gives words like this, it's a command, not a suggestion. And the reason is just so he can burden you down and put heaviness on you, right? Well, one person said something. No. It's to give you life and that more abundantly. Amen? Hallelujah. To give you his kingdom down here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And here's the admonishment. don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, we're not talking about circumcision in this, folks. Let's get that out right now. This is not about circumcision. This is about those who serve God and those who do not. Okay? And they use this as an example, or if you will, a proverb or a... Now I've lost the word. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Exactly. Parable. Parable. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you, Lord. I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You know, in churches today, they think by following laws that they're going to be justified. Now, we keep His Word, and there's a lot of His Word that is law, and there are laws and principles in the Word, and we need to keep those because there's blessings in it. But it's not talking about the law, or if you will, the logos, the written Word, because the Bible says the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen? So we're not talking about that. We're talking about walking in and knowing that if you operate under law, then you are subject to that law. By that law, you'll be justified or you'll be condemned. Amen? Hallelujah. God set us free. He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. And that's what brings us our freedom. Does that make any sense to anybody? Or did I lose you? Praise the Lord. You who have become estranged from Christ, who attempt to be justified in the law, you have fallen from grace. The law is not full of grace. Now, if you ever have operated in at any point any type of or shadow of a career that I've been in for the last many years, then you know that the law has no grace. If there's any compassion out there when it comes to the law, it's by the people who are out there maintaining the peace, and those who are led by God. Amen? And I'm excited, again, to have worked with some of the fine people here in Lakewood, some of the Lakewood officers, who a lot of them are on fire for God Christians. Amen? And that's, praise the Lord, that's good. That's good. Anyway, that's not where we're going, so we'll get back on target here. You attempt to be justified by the law, the Bible says you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. See, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. It doesn't say by following the laws, Mosaic, or even the laws of some churches today. Do you know why people put laws in churches and put rules down? I'm just going to be honest with you. So they can kick you out when they're tired of you or when you violate what they think is right. That's why in this house, we don't have any laws. We don't have any rules. If you love God and you come, you're a member. You're a guest in this house once. After that, you're part of the family. You're one of us. And the door is always open. And if you leave, it won't be because there's one person's handprint on you when you leave. It'll be because God told you or because you rebelled. Now, that may seem harsh, but that's the truth. If God hasn't called you here, that's one thing. But if God calls you here and you leave, you better examine if it's God that's telling you or something that you got your, if you just allow me to say it. Well, I'll put it this way, a kink in your colon over. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. If all of a sudden something gets crossways with you, or if you will, once again, the way I put it, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? Do I need to say that again? If you feel far from God, guess who moved? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. You know, one of the other things, too, that we need to be careful of, the Bible says evil company corrupts good morals. That's a good example of the leaven that's talked about in this verse right here. Just a little bit of that. The Bible also says just a little sleep and a little slumber, and so will your poverty come. Amen? The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, it says your adversary, the devil, walks about as, didn't say he is, he said as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's a big mouth who tries to put thoughts in your hearts to cause you to doubt and to disbelieve God's word. To say when calamity comes, well, let me tell you something. I didn't start out where I'm at right now. It's taken me a myriad of years to get to where I am. But God's changing me. He's causing me to grow day by day. The more I get committed to Him, the more He's committed to me, and the more things change in my life. By the way, I'll tell you right now, He's committed to you whether you know it or not, whether you feel like it or not. And if things aren't going right, the Bible says, consider your ways. Amen? Because He doesn't change, and He doesn't lie. Right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to be encouraged today, not beat down. This is not about beating you down. This is about telling you, live for God, serve God, and watch God do in your life what He wants to do for the betterment of His kingdom, and it'll all turn out good and right for you too. Amen? He's not selfish. Do this for me. You know, have you ever noticed in the corporate world today, if I can digress for just a moment, have you ever noticed in the corporate world today, and it's more rampant and more ugly than it's ever been, give me everything you got, and then give me whatever's left, and then I throw you out. I don't need you anymore. They don't care about you. There's very few companies, and I'm proud to say, or let me take that back, happy to say, that I work for a company that their whole motto has always been the people. The people. And that it's not just my way or the highway. They care about the people. And as long as you, it's, you know, do you ever notice that? You know, and that's the way God is. You do it my way, me and their blessings, you won't even be able to contain the blessings that I have for you. But you do it your way, and you'll be looking around the corner saying, dear God. Right? Aha. Better to do it His way, right? Yes. Hallelujah. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord. I'm here to tell you today, He has confidence in you, and I have confidence in you, in the Lord. That you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Acts 3:19. So here's the thing. You get off kilter a little bit. Don't run. Don't hide. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Consider your ways. And then look at 3:19 where it says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing. Did you get that? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's not a one-time thing. Does your Bible not say that salvation is new every day? So that means another opportunity for refreshing comes with each morning that you wake up and commit your ways to Him. Amen? Amen? Y'all with me? Did you go home still already? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Isaiah 28:16. We're going to close here in just a few minutes. How many thank God for having a short-winded preacher? Oh, you missed a good time or a good place to say amen. How many know it's not quantity, it's quality, amen? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 28:16. Isaiah 28:16. You know, folks, He has laid a sure foundation. A sure foundation. And there's not any attack that can come that will change or move or dislodge that foundation or put cracks in it. Amen? Are you with me? Can you say amen? There's nothing. That foundation, if you're built on the rock which is Christ Jesus, who is the truth, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Then you're on a foundation that can never, ever, ever be moved. Amen? Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, precious, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all know that there's no other foundation that we can trust in. I'm reminded of the old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground. Did you hear that? All other ground is sinking sand. And y'all been around long enough that you know that that's the truth. You know that that's the truth. You've tried it your way. And the only place you found solace and the only place you found help, the only place you found steadfastness was in Him, right? Amen. In no other. In no other. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Luke 6, 47 through 49. Praise you, Jesus. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Your Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's not the end of that verse. But the Lord delivers them out of a few of them. No. The Lord delivers them out of them all. Out of them all. Hallelujah. When you're built on Him, there is nothing that can prevail against you. Every one of us in this room have had things. Maybe even today you're facing something that seems like an insurmountable obstacle. Or you think, dear God, I'm going down. The ship's sinking. And I'm here today to tell you the good news is He has not left you nor forsaken you. He commands you, call on Him in the time of trouble, and He will show you great and mighty things you don't even know. How many heard the word that God gave this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's for you, not against you. Go back and read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. If He says, I've got good thoughts for you, I've got good plans for you, I want to give you a hope and a future, does anything change that? Does any circumstance in your life or calamity, or what seems like a calamity, being without a job and the bills not getting paid, is that bigger than God? In our puny flesh minds, unrestrained by the Word and unmotivated by the Word, yes. But He says, I know what you have need of before you ask. Go back and read Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Once again, I tell you, it's not your bank account. It's His. Amen? It's His bank account. When Luis was here a while back and spoke, one of the things Stan told him that ministered to his life was, he said, kind of like Paul or Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And he said, I'm writing you a check on God's account. How many know that's far beyond what we could have ever done in the natural? And how many know that those funds don't even need to be insured by the whatever it is? Amen? They're insured by the One who is incorruptible, amen, who doesn't change, and who's not a liar, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, let me tell you, it's not the end of the world when you lose a job and you're behind in a couple payments. Amen? God's faithful. Our Redeemer is faithful and He's true. Amen? I want you to get that this morning. We've been talking about that for a while. Let's go on. He is like a man building his house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. There's going to be situations that come in our lives. One of the things I want to remind you is the Bible says that a man doesn't despise a thief. Who's the thief? We need to despise him. I'm not talking about that. But the scripture example is a man does not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But there's an addendum to that. And that is, when the thief is found out, he must restore sevenfold out of the goods of his house. Now the thief and the enemy of your soul, there's nothing good in him, never has been. This is talking about a natural example, but can be carried into the spirit. How many know the spirit manifests in the flesh and the flesh manifests in the spirit? Amen? Praise the Lord. What it's talking about is the fact that the God will require, if you stay close to Him, that everything be redeemed. Sevenfold or better. At least sevenfold or better. The enemy has to repay. God will enforce that. It's not up to you and I. Our job is to release it, cast all of our care on Him because He cares for us. That word care, if you look it up, means anxiety. I looked it up. It means anxiety. Your Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by all things, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And what is He? The author and the finisher of your faith. In the midst of that struggle, if it looks like you're going down and all you can cry out is, God, make me willing to be made willing to do your will. Then remember, as you say that, it's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is a co-laborer with you. Amen? You call on Him, and what He does is enforce the decisions you've made and helps you walk through them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. His thoughts are to prosper and not to harm you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So when things come that are not right, where'd we get this goofy idea? God can teach us through tests and trials, but He doesn't bring the tests and trials. I'll remind you what James chapter 1 says. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. If you study the original language, it says, let no man say when he is tested, I am tested or tried by God. For God is not tested or tried with evil, nor does He test or try any man. But every man is tested or tried when he is led away of his own lust and enticed by that same lust. Or by the thoughts the enemy puts in your mind. You get 2.5 weeks behind. And you'll find out quickly whether you're standing on God and living in faith of God, or whether you're fussing about. How many know you can't exalt God if anything else is on your mind? What you put your focus on is what you exalt. Are you with me? What you put your focus on is, you all know this. This is not rocket science. Is what you exalt. And you can't exalt God if your focus is someplace other than on Him. Right? Praise the Lord. So, where's your house built today? Are you anticipating the inevitable supernatural intervention of God this morning? Are you? And you need to get up every morning saying that, making that a declaration, which you get up and say, first of all, this is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord. Where are we going today? I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I'm not, I'm yours. And then, Lord, I anticipate today in my life and the life of your people, your inevitable supernatural intervention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know he's not a high priest that can't be touched by the feelings of our infirmities? Infirmities doesn't mean just sickness. It means calamity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that you're encouraged today. I pray that you have a new perspective on some old scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's easy for a minister to think, but Lord, I've preached that a million times. The people know that. But how many know the Bible says if everything, just the miracles alone, just the miracles alone that God did through Jesus and on this earth were written down, this earth could not contain the volumes. That's just the miracles, let alone everything else that he's got in that word. And how many know he's still writing on the hearts of people today? This is the guideline. But he's not done writing and speaking to people today. Amen? Amen? Is he speaking to you today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. Hallelujah. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. Listen carefully. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. My hope's in him. How about you? He never let me down. Never let me down. Never has, never will. And I'm ashamed to say that I have let him down many times. You call it whatever you want to. Disobedience, weakness, it's all relevant. But like David, when I go and when you go and you repent, he removes whatever it is from the east, as far as the east is from the west, buries in the deepest sea, and he remembers it no more. The key is repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for what he's done, not only in your lives, but in my life today. You know, this word starts right here. I'm not preaching at you. We're all on this journey together, right? I'm no different than you. The only difference is God holds me to a higher responsibility. That's the only difference. Amen? God loves you, and I love you. And I'm out to see you succeed. And y'all know, and if you don't, I'm telling you today, with my dying breath, I'm going to see that happen. I want to see you because God wants to see you succeed. Because I don't belong to me, I belong to him. I can't waver from that. I want you to know the joy and the excitement that I know. And I want you to know that through the things that I go through, just like you, that God has made himself more real to me than he has ever been in all the years I've been a Christian. How many years doesn't make any difference? Doesn't make a bit of difference. Point is, whether you started today or whether you start tomorrow, he says, I am the author and the what? The finisher of your faith. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged today? Are you lifted up? Hallelujah. Is your faith built? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And God accomplished what he wanted accomplished. Amen? Now, Lord, once again, I ask you, seal your word in the hearts of every person here. I thank you for your presence here, Lord. I thank you for hiding me, Lord. And I ask you now, Lord, let my words fall to the ground. They're insignificant and unimportant. But let your word be sealed in every heart. Let it bring forth fruit. Great fruit and great gain in your kingdom, Lord. in each of these lives and the lives they touch as they go in your name this week. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I want to give you an opportunity. If there's any other prayer requests other than the ones we've been given this morning, now's the time to say so. Folks, I admonish you, don't leave here. In case you know what that means, just simply said that strongly suggest or strongly motivate you not to leave here with burdens on your heart. Cast your care on Him today. He's got the answer, and He's the one who can do something about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody have any prayer requests? Is there anything we need to pray about? Are all hearts clear? And Father, right now, the requests that have been made this morning, you know by whom, and you know the people that were mentioned. I thank you, Lord, that every need is met in every aspect of their life. The physical, I thank you for healing according to your stripes. That is your will. We walk in your will. Your will is your word, and your word is your will. We thank you that they're healed. The emotional, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you deal with the emotions and bring stability. That you clear up a troubled or double-minded mind. By your Spirit now, we send your word and say to those who were mentioned today, be healed, be whole in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. We'll believe no other report. We thank you that the needs are met spiritually, physically, and emotionally. According to your plan and your purpose and your riches. In Jesus' name. I thank you that finances are met right now. I thank you that bank accounts are full for every person in this place, Lord. Bank accounts are full. Not for selfish gain, Lord, but for your kingdom. For your kingdom. There's more than enough. And I thank you, Lord, we are a prosperous people. We don't speak of money only, Lord. We speak of everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it's done. We thank you in advance. We thank you, Lord, that we have the faith to stand and know that it's done right now. And what we wait for is the manifestation. In some cases, Lord, by your will, it'll be immediate. And in some cases, it'll be when the time is right, because you're never late. Never early, never late. You're always right on time. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I thank you that every person here, Lord, is healed, healthy, whole, prosperous, has more than enough. I speak that over them now. And now, Lord, let your face shine and radiate on these and your people, Lord. Let your goodness be seen in and through their lives. Let your will alone be accomplished in their lives. Draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not today what we were yesterday. And we're anticipating not being the same tomorrow as we are today. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have a fellowship that we always have after services on Sunday, except the first Sunday of the month. We encourage you, if you're a guest and a visitor, we welcome you. We thank you for coming. Please come back. We'd like to get to know you. And by the way, there's openings in this church. If you're musically inclined, we can use some more singers and musicians. And, you know, how many know that when the call of God goes out, you don't walk into something that sometimes, you know, a lot of times that's fully prepared for you. I mean, it's prepared for you, but you don't. It may start out real slow. The Bible says, don't despise small beginnings. But you could be the very one who God's calling to start something in this church that's needed by this church, by this house. We're all part of the church, which is the big picture. But this house, amen? Don't be swayed by what you see or don't see in this house. Let God minister to your heart and know that God's calling Amen. Praise the Lord. Be blessed.